Jesus teaches his disciples to pray and gives them some guidelines. And in verse 12 of Matthew 6, we read these words, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It seems as if the word debt in verse 12 has been replaced with the word trespasses in verse 14. And if we look at Luke 11, verse 4, we have, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." And so the word sin, it seems, is replaced by indebted. I'd just like to look at the forgiveness of sin, or the forgiveness of sins, as the forgiveness of a debt or debts. It seems to me that these words are interchangeable. We've sinned and we're in debt. Now, the word sin simply means to fall short. But just to expand means to fail, to not be good enough. You take an exam and you don't reach the required mark to pass, then you've sinned, you've fallen short. Athletes often fall short. In fact, very often. The high jump, if they don't make it above the bar, they have literally fallen short of the mark. And in qualifying, take the javelin, there'll be a certain qualifying distance that the javelin thrower will have to reach in order to make either the next round or to qualify for the Olympics. And if they, in their competitions, don't reach that qualifying distance, we can say that they've fallen short. They've sinned. But of course, in the Bible, the word sin, although it does mean falling short, it's used to represent wrongdoing. If you're a lawbreaker, then you are a sinner. Another way of breaking the law is to trespass. Going over a boundary is to trespass. And it could be a breaking of a law. Another word for in the Bible use for sin, wrongdoing, and being a lawbreaker is iniquity or being unfair. It's a very common word, very common term in the Bible, the word sin and sinner and sinfulness. In fact, there's more occasions for the word sin in the Bible than there is the word love. The Bible's full of teaching on sin. We're going to look this afternoon as the forgiveness of sin, as the forgiveness of debt. So a sin is a debt. Possibly one of the best, a nice definition, if you like, of sin comes from James and his letter, James 4:17. "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I remember the priest and the Levite who came across this almost dead victim of robbers on the roadside. Now, I don't know whether they just come round a corner and come across him, or whether they saw him from afar. But for some reason, they didn't help at all. They passed on the other side, unlike the Samaritan who took care of him and paid for his treatment. I wonder why the two men previously passed on the other side, seemingly not caring. Because they were not neighbours. They were not good neighbours to that poor man. Did they think it was a trap? Did they think that if they were to go near to the man and perhaps bend down, kneel down, that there would be others waiting? Or the man himself suddenly stand up and accost one of them? So were they afraid? Were they fearful? Well, if they were, it's still no excuse to not offer some help, to at least have a look to see if he was still alive. We'll come back to being fearful if there's time a little bit later on. Now, the manner in which we become debtors. Well, in a flippant, if you like, friendly way, we become in debt nearly all the time. Somebody will do us a favour, or we'll ask someone if we could borrow something, borrow the use of a tool, a neighbour perhaps, or someone out of the kindness of their heart does something for us. And we feel, don't we sometimes, a little bit in debt to that person. And if we can, we try to pay them back. But how do we come in debt to God? Well, as a borrower is in debt to the lender. God has bestowed many mercies, many blessings upon everyone. And he's been lending to us and borrowing. We've been borrowing from him all our life as the need has arisen. Some, of course, in the world are given riches. Some are poor and remain poor. But generally speaking, mankind has been lent to very substantially. We deserve to be, all of us, cast into outer darkness. But God has been good to us, and we do owe him a very large debt, whether we like it or not. So what we're saying is, we've all sinned. A lot of what I say might overlap, so I might well say that later on as well. And I've mentioned trespassing, going over a boundary illegally. And the trespasser is in debt to the trespassed. And we have broken through the fences, if you like, and boundaries of God's laws quite carelessly that he set for us. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, strength, soul and mind. And as trespassers of his laws, we are in debt to God, the lawgiver. And as Christians, if ever any of us as Christians have made possibly a flippant oath to God that from now on I'm going to live the best life possible, particularly possibly when you were baptised, or you may have sung a hymn, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. And I'm sure that these promises have been broken and we've failed. And so as covenant breakers, we are in debt to him. And as law breakers too, we've all broken God's laws. And if we break man's laws and we're caught for it, then we will either have to pay a fine, or we will have to serve a term of confinement in a prison, or do some other community service. But we are all in debt as law breakers, because none of us have kept his laws fully. And if we break one law, we're guilty of breaking them all. And also by association, we are indebted to God. By Adam's disobedience, we are all made in debt. We're all made sinners. It's inherited from our parents, this debt. And many people, well, not I say many, sometimes people get into debt in this life because their parents were in debt and their parents died. And those debts are passed on to the children. So a son who could be liable to his father's debts after his death. And if you go into business with somebody else and they're a poor business partner, and they, with their actions, get the business into debt and therefore you into debt, then in a way you are partakers with other people's debts, with other people's sins. I can remember as a young lad not bothering or thinking twice about being with three or four other lads of my own age, and they would say, let's go off and do something, and it would be wrong. And I knew it would be wrong, but you still go off with them, possibly to do a little bit of stealing or going somewhere where you weren't meant to go, into someone's house. Just trespassing or damaging some property. We used to have all sorts of, I say fun, at, when it was time for fireworks, putting them in milk bottles, you know, bangers, and then running away. And we can be guilty of sin and of getting into debt by participating with other people. And the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the Bible says, Exodus 23 verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. But it's so easy to do that. We're described as sheep, aren't we? And sheep, what do? They do wander so easily. And then finally, as the tenant is in debt to a landlord. And it is easy for many people, it seems, often read about this, people who actually own property, they're always moaning because those that are renting their property have either damaged their property or they're behind in their rent. And it's just the same with us. We are in debt to God. If you like, we're renting this body, we're renting this this world, and he has given us so many things which we take for granted. And our body has been described as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And people tattoo themselves, people smoke, they drink too much, and their actions cause themselves to be harmed. Well, that's how we can become in debt. But what about the nature of the debt? That's my second point. Well, the debt that we're in to God is an old debt. An old debt. We are born in sins due to Adam's actions. Psalm 51, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And in Romans, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. That's a very old debt. We have been in debt since we've been born. And it's a great debt. Every day we add to this debt if we don't turn to God in repentance. Because every day we sin. We sin as Christians. We try not to. But it's the old nature. And we are treasuring up as we sin more and more, as we get into more and more debt with God, we are treasuring up more and more wrath against that day of wrath. Psalm 7, God is angry with the wicked every day. In fact, if we take away the italics from that verse, it simply reads, God is angry. And we deal with an angry God. Romans 2, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So we start off in debt, and every day of our life we add to that debt. We add to the number of sins that we have committed and our rebellion to him. But it is a just debt. And the penalty for that debt is also just. If we turn to Ezra 9, Ezra chapter 9, and verse 5, Ezra's praying for the people. I shall begin at verse 6. So Ezra says, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. Yes, the people of Israel and of Judah, the two kingdoms, both suffered the punishment from God, the wrath of God for not worshipping him aright as nations, and they suffered at his hands. and many of them were killed and taken away into captivity to a strange land. And if you look at verse 13, this is what Ezra prays here. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, has punished us less than our iniquities deserve and has given us such deliverance as this. Yes, God hates our sin. He hates the fact that we're in debt to him and that we're indifferent to it. But he hasn't dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The penalty of our debt is less than our debt deserves. Let's just think about the nature of those who are in debt, the debtors. Many are unconcerned about their debt and they're careless. They put the debt, their sins, to the back of their mind. They don't want to think about it. They drown out anything they've got that they hear or read about their debt, about their sin, by getting involved with the things of this world and short-lived pleasures, and joining in with others that do the same. A false sense in numbers. What else are they like? They're wasteful. They're wasteful of opportunities and time. And whenever they hear anything to do with their sin, it's just, they don't do anything about it. They waste their time. And they could use their minds that they've been given, their faculties, to find out more about the Bible. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God. But we waste our time. And we're unconcerned. And we're indifferent. And we often, before we were saved, take no pleasure in hearing about the debt. Don't want to hear about our sin. Or having anything to do with God or his Son. We will not have this man to reign over us, is what they say. It's all a myth. It's all nonsense. And I used to hear, it's just for kids. But I don't even think they would go that far nowadays, the people of this world. But they're also fearful. Debtors carry a misgiving conscience, which often reproaches them and fills them with secret terrors and bitterness. And we're going to turn to a verse in Revelation, chapter 21. I did mention earlier that the two that passed by the man on the road, the Levite and the priest, I said possibly they were fearful. And I said that wasn't a good enough excuse. It was not an excuse at all. It doesn't excuse them being fearful. Revelation 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's astonishing to see the word fearful there. Is it wrong to be fearful? Well, it possibly means to be cowardly of spirit and not valiant for the truth. Too frightened to admit to any kind of interest in the gospel or in God in case they're laughed at, because they're scared of what other people will say. That they might be exposed to a little bit of trouble, tribulation or persecution, and they're fearful, and so they don't come to Christ. It's quite a powerful verse in Revelation, but that's the first one on the list. And debtors are often deceitful. Bad debtors are apt to promise payment. Yes, I'll pay you next week when I get my salary, but often they break their word. possibly because they're not just in debt to the landlord, but they're in debt to possibly gambling, who knows. And Jeremiah 17 sums it all up in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So we can be unconcerned and careless, we can be wasteful of our time, we can be indifferent to the gospel, we can be fearful. If anyone ever found out that we had any interest at all in the things of the Bible. And so we steer clear, and we can be deceitful. And there is a great danger of being in debt to God, because he keeps accounts. He keeps records. God keeps records. And in Revelation 20 and verse 12, we read, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. God knows every single thing that we've done, every single thing that we've looked at, listened to, said, all our details. He is God. He knows all these things. And for us to understand that, we've got this notion that he keeps books, that books are opened. Makes it easier for us to understand. And there's some very thick books for some sinners. It isn't that God just knows everything about us, everything that we've done, all those bad things, and all those things that we thought were good, they're as filthy rags in his sight. And mankind hasn't got the wherewithal to pay that debt. Mankind is insolvent. And there's nothing we can do to pay that debt. We have no earthly friend to help us, because all our earthly friends are equally in debt to God. But payment is demanded, and it is ever and immediately demanded by a continual claim. God is God, and he demands that we are accountable to him. Death, like a police officer, will arrest us for our debts. Although no longer will we have to discharge or will be responsible for our worldly debts, if we have any, but we will be laid open. Death will lay us open to the debts against a holy God. Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And we will all stand, it says in this Bible, we will all stand before the judgment seat, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for those that have no standing, because they haven't put their trust in the only way of getting out of the debt. And the approach of the day of reckoning is coming. As sure as we see this present day, we shall see that day when everyone must give an account of himself to God. Romans 14, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Where do the debtors go? What is the final destination of the sinful man and woman? But when Jesus saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It's Matthew 3 and 7. Romans 2. Indignation, wrath, tribulation and anguish await those who are in debt to God. Outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth is the description in Matthew 22. If we face God and we're in our sins and we're in debt. But we have good news, because there is the forgiveness of debt. There is the forgiveness of sin. And this is the ground and hope for the forgiveness of our sins. Firstly, the goodness of God. Psalm 86, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. and the mediation of Christ. We're forgiven because Christ, by his blood, has made satisfaction for all our debts, for all our sins. He's paid our debt with his own blood. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. He is the only mediator, the only go-between, between man and God. A bit like a negotiator, an intermediary. And he reconciles us to God. I'll take your debt, he says. I'll take all the punishment that should be coming your way. But trust in me. Trust in this one thing, that I've died for you. And repent of all your debt and all your sins. So the things included in the forgiveness of sins. God stops this process and does not allow the law to have its course. The judgment's still there. It doesn't come upon us. The judgment was put upon Christ. And so we are taken out of condemnation. God cancels the debt. It is remembered no more against the debtor or against the sinner. And we're acquitted. God speaks to the sinner, bringing comfort arising from being justified. Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And God permits a friendship, a communion with himself, and he deals with our debts individually. He deals with us individually, and we are reconciled to him because of the work of Christ. What must we do? We must confess that we are in debt. We must confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we come to him and we believe in Christ and we follow him. We disclaim any and all dependence upon our own sufficiencies and rest only upon Christ as a complete and all-sufficient Saviour. Ephesians 2, by grace, God's mercy are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. The payment of our debt is a wonderful gift. What shall we render to Christ? Well, the answer is, we can give nothing. We can do nothing to save us. But he would like us to take all occasions to speak of that great love wherewith he loved us. We're born again. And we should live differently from that moment on. And we should render to God the things that are his and be careful not to run into debt again. And of course, if we've been forgiven, we should forgive others. God will have his children to be like him, merciful and good. So may the love of Christ constrain us to love him and live for him who loved us and died for us. Amen. Amen.